We'd like to thank you all for coming and attending this program today. And we'd like to apologize that we've come later than we expected to. And also we'd like to apologize that we don't have a sound system which is working properly. But we'd like to ask you all to please be tolerant and we'll proceed with our program. Now, the Krishna consciousness movement is not a new movement. This Hare Krishna society was established in 1965 when His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada came from India to New York. He was a very elderly Indian ascetic, sadhu. And he came to the States with the order of his master to preach this Krishna conscious knowledge in the Western countries. And since that time, the Krishna consciousness movement has expanded throughout the entire world. Here in the former Soviet Union, there are over 100 temples of the Krishna Conscious Society. And in the rest of the world, maybe there are another 300 or 400 temples of the Hare Krishna Society. Krishna Conscious philosophy is not a new philosophy either. But it is very ancient and authorized science. And that science is coming to us through a system which is known as Guru Parampara. That is a unbroken chain of disciples who are simply repeating the instructions of the original master. And that original master is Lord Krishna himself. Lord Krishna is known in all of the ancient Vedic literatures as being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And 5,000 years ago, He appeared on this earth. And at that time, He spoke one very greatest work on the science of transcendental knowledge, which is known as Bhagavad Gita. This great book, Bhagavad Gita, is meant to give spiritual knowledge in our lives. And the essence of that knowledge is to understand who we are and what is our relationship with God. So in order to do that, Lord Krishna, He described to His disciple Arjuna different processes by which one may receive transcendental knowledge. And He ended in explaining the process of knowledge, which is known as Bhakti Yoga.
системы передачи трансцендентного знания, которая известна как бхакти-йога.
Yoga means to join or to link.
Йога означает связаться.
And it specifically means that we join our consciousness with the consciousness of the Supreme Lord.
Это означает, что мы соединяем свое сознание с сознанием Бога.
So this process of bhakti yoga, it means the yogic process of devotion and love.
Этот процесс бхакти йоги означает процесс преданности и любви.
And the essential practice of the bhakti yoga system is this chanting of Krishna's name, which we have just completed. So now what we will do in our meeting this afternoon is we will read one verse of the Bhagavad Gita. And then we'll discuss that point for a few minutes. And then we'll have some more of this Hare Krishna chanting. So today, we'd like to read from the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is explaining to his disciple Arjuna the true identity of the living entity.
Krishna объясняет Арджуне, своему ученику, истинную природу живого существа.
So I will read the Sanskrit and the translation, and then we will read the commentary, which has been written by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
Я буду читать санскрит и перевод, а затем мы будем слушать комментарии A.C. Бхактивиданта
Прабхупады. This Gita is spoken in ancient Sanskrit language.
Эта Гита была рассказана на древнем языке санскрит.
But Srila Prabhupada has translated that into English, and now it has been translated into Russian and all other languages for our benefit. Dehino sminyata dehe komaram yovanam jara tata dehantara praptir diristata namuyate. Text number 13. Translation. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. A sober person is not bewildered by such a change.
Точно так же, как душа переселяется из детского тела в юношеское и из него в старческое, так и при смерти она переходит в другое тело. Эти изменения не беспокоят того, кто осознал свою духовную природу. Комментарий. Каждое живое существо есть индивидуальная душа, постоянно меняющая свое тело, проявляясь то в ребенке, то в юноше, то в старике.
So Lord Krishna is beginning to give confidential knowledge to Arjuna.
Господь Кришна начинает передавать конфиденциальное знание Арджуне.
And the first information which he gives Arjuna is that we are not these bodies.
И первое, что он говорит Арджуне, это то, что мы не являемся этим телом.
He explains that our actual position is that we are the soul.
Он объясняет, что в нашем истинном положении является то, что мы являемся душой.
He explains that that soul is an atomic particle of the Supreme Soul.
Он объясняет, что эта индивидуальная душа является атомарной частицей Всевышней Души.
Just like the Supreme Lord is the Supreme Consciousness, the living entity is a particle of that Supreme Consciousness. And he possesses qualities just like the Supreme Lord. But the Supreme Lord has all qualities unlimitedly. Whereas we, the living entity, are very minute and our qualities are minute.
Но мы, индивидуально живые существа, являемся незначительными, и наши качества также незначительны.
So Krishna gives a very good example.
И Кришна дает очень хороший пример.
He says that the soul, it enters the body.
Он говорит о том, что душа входит в тело.
And then in that body, we all experience different changes.
И в этом теле мы претерпеваем различные изменения.
In the beginning of our lives, we're just little small babies.
В начале нашей жизни мы всего лишь маленькие дети.
And then we have boyhood bodies.
А потом у нас юношеские тела.
And then youthful bodies.
А потом тела молодых людей.
Then we have adult bodies.
Потом у нас тела взрослых людей.
And then we develop old age bodies.
А потом мы получаем тела стариков.
And in all of those different changes of bodies, we have remained the same.
И во всех этих изменениях тела мы остаемся той же самой личностью.
We're the same person that perceives the world through our senses.
Это та же самая личность, которая воспринимает мир путем своих чувств.
Just now, I'm a middle-aged man.
Как, например, сейчас я мужчина.
But I'm the same person that seeing the world through these eyes as I was when I was just a boy.
И это та же самая личность, которая видит этот мир, и видела, я видел этот мир, когда я был ребенком.
So the body has changed so many times.
И тело все время меняется.
But the soul or the person has remained the same.
Но личность или душа остается той же самой.
Just like sometimes we have the experience.
Иногда
that we will go home and we will visit our families. Now, I am from America originally. And whenever I visit my mother, she always does the same thing. She likes to take out a photo album and show me the photos of when I was a child. Is it the same way here in your country? That your mothers keep pictures of you when you were babies? So, last time I visited my mother, I said, Mom, show me a picture when I was just a little baby boy. So very quickly she ran. And she opened one photo album. And there I saw this little naked boy with no clothes on, laying in the bathtub. And my mother said, that's you. And I said, no, that's not me. I said, this is me. I said, I'm so big. I'm tall. That's this little pink-colored baby. And she said, no, no, that's you when you were a child. But now your body has changed. So even my mother could understand that. That I am the same person, but my body has changed. And Krishna explains that we will come to the point which is called death.
We'll put this on the side because it doesn't work anyhow.
So Krishna explains that we will all come to the point of life which is called death. Actually, it's said that we're born to die. From the time that we're born, we start to approach death. Some people may be 5 years old, some people may be 10 years old, but that means that they're simply 5 or 10 years closer to the time that their death will come. So Krishna makes a very amazing statement. He says that none of us have changed during the different changes of the body. So he says that when your body changes at the time of death, you will not change either. You will continue to exist. When the body dies, you will not die.
Когда тело умрет, ты не умрешь.
But he explains that on the basis of our activities in this life, we will take another birth in this world.
Но он объясняет, что благодаря нашим действиям, которые мы совершаем в этом жизни, в этой жизни, мы получим следующее тело.
So this body is not our real existence.
Это тело не является нашим действительным существованием.
This body is a temporary existence that we're all living in.
Это тело является временным творением, в котором мы находимся сейчас.
And Krishna, he nicely explains in Bhagavad Gita.
Кришна хорошо это объясняет в Бхагавад Гите.
He says that these bodies are just like sets of clothes that we put on.
Это тело подобно одежде, которую мы одеваем.
He, just like in the morning, we all rise up and we choose a set of clothes that we're going to wear for the day. And we wear that clothes during the day, and in the evening time, we remove those clothes. When we take rest. So in the same way, at the time of birth, we accept this body. And we wear that body for some years. And then at the time of death, we simply take that body off. But we do not cease to exist. We do not stop living. So this is called spiritual knowledge. And this is the basis or the foundation of spiritual understanding. But unfortunately, in society today, people are not educated in this way. But we become conditioned in society. Or we become programmed in society. And what is that programming? That programming is that we think that we're men and we think that we're women. Or we think that we're Americans or we think that we're Russians. All simply on the basis of the fact that we are born in a certain type of body. And then, by identifying with these bodies, we feel that the goal of life is to satisfy these bodies. So then we naturally begin so many endeavors to find some happiness with this body. But the unfortunate thing is that actual happiness and satisfaction never really comes. Why is that? Again, we should go back to the essential point. That we are the soul. And that we're not the body. On the basis of the training that we have in society, everything that we're doing is simply meant to satisfy this body. What we eat, what we speak, our entertainment is all simply on the basis of the body. So what has happened is we have become like fish that have been taken out of water. Just like we were coming here today and we passed so many rivers along the way. So let's just take an example. Say we were to go to one of your beautiful rivers. And we went to the river and we took one nice fish from a river and we brought him right here. And having that fish here, we could give him so many things for his happiness. We could give him fine food to eat. We could give him nice drinks to drink. Or we could give him girlfriends or boyfriends. So many nice things to try to increase his happiness. But the question is, would that fish be happy? And you all know that the answer is no, the fish wouldn't be happy. Because the fish is out of his nature. Because the fish is meant to be happy when he's in the water, not when he's on the land. So our position is that we are spiritual. We are part and parcel of God. And our happiness, our true happiness, is meant to be found in the association of God. But here in this material atmosphere, we're trying so many things. But that happiness is not really coming. Just like in your great country. For many years you made an experiment with one particular philosophy to try to find happiness. Which was the idea of socialism. And that didn't work. And now you're making the experiment with capitalism. And you can see that still with capitalism, it's a great struggle. So it's a fact that all these different philosophies and all these different isms will never work because they're immaterial and they're unable to satisfy the eternal soul. Rather, Krishna explains that when we engage in activities in this world, we become caught and bound by the reactions to those activities. That's a very ancient Indian philosophical concept which is called karma. Karma means that for every action we perform, there is an equal reaction. So if we're performing all of our activities simply for the satisfaction and maintenance of the body, then we'll be bound to take our birth again here within this world. And Krishna himself explains in Bhagavad Gita. He says, for all those people who are coming to this world, four things are certain. He says, we'll be born. He says, ultimately we'll experience death. Along the way we'll experience disease. And we'll all grow and experience the difficulties of old age. Actually, Krishna himself gives his opinion of life within this world. He says, life within this world is temporary and it's full of so many problems. So the suggestion of Krishna is that we realize our spiritual nature and come to the spiritual platform of life. Spiritual life is different from material life. Spiritual life is eternal. It's full of knowledge and it's full of happiness. Krishna says that when one will come to to the spiritual position of life, one will become fully satisfied at all times. He explains to Arjuna one Sanskrit verse. He says, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatmana Sochitina Kangshati Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. He says that when one will become free from his material concept, the first symptom is that he will become fully satisfied at every moment. He says, satisfied and joyful. And he says that in that joyful position, he never hankers for material things. Our position in this world is that we're always hankering for something more and looking for something new to give us pleasure and satisfaction. Or when we have acquired some material things, we lament because we lose them. And then Krishna explains that when we come to the spiritual position, we'll be able to see the true equality of all living beings. True equality because we'll have spiritual vision. Meaning that we just won't relate as bodies, but we'll relate as souls. And then he says that from the position of spiritual life, one will be able to serve me directly with love. So the recommended process in this age for developing our Krishna consciousness is this chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Just like we were chanting in the beginning of the program. And maybe you've seen the devotees on the streets of your city chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This Maha Mantra is a spiritual sound vibration. It descends from the spiritual world into this material atmosphere. And it awakens our actual spiritual nature. It's like we all have the experience of the potency of sound vibration. Sometimes we'll be sitting in our flat, the phone will ring. And on the other end, we'll hear the voice of someone that we love and we haven't seen for a long time. And just by hearing that voice, our consciousness is affected. Or sometimes we'll hear some song that we liked very much when we were young. And it moves our consciousness in a particular way. So in the same way, when we will hear a spiritual sound vibration, our consciousness will become changed. We'll start to understand how we're not these bodies, but we're the soul. We'll actually understand how we're consciousness within the body. And by understanding our spiritual nature, we'll cease to find pleasure in material activities. This is like you see all these young boys and girls who are present today. They're all very young and happy, and they all follow such principles in their lives. just for example, in our Krishna Consciousness Society, we follow basic principles. And we say that those principles are the foundation or the pillars of a religious society. For example, our devotees, they do not take any meat, fish, or eggs. Nor do they take any intoxication. Nor do they engage in any gambling or speculative activities. And the devotees of our society, they don't engage in any illicit sexual activities. But by following these activities, one's spiritual nature becomes revived. By following these activities. And by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, these activities become actually very practical and relishable. This Hare Krishna Maha Mantra are the ancient Sanskrit names of God. Now this is not working. So you have to speak loudly also. This is the nature of this material world. Everything has a beginning and everything has an end. Now our speaker system has come to an end. In the same way, our lives will come to an end. But the soul will exist forever. So we want everyone here to realize that. We want everyone to come onto the spiritual platform and to come out of material existence. Enter into the situation where you're joyful all the time. Some people say, no, no, you can't be joyful all the time. But we say, look at all these people. They have such nice bright faces. They're happy, they're satisfied and joyful. So we're humbly requesting that you make the experiment. You may say, how nice is chanting Hare Krishna mantra? And we can tell you, chanting Hare Krishna is very nice. But you will not really understand how wonderful this process is until you actually take part and chant this mantra. And we guarantee that if you will chant this mantra sincerely, for even just a week's time, your vision of the world will start to change. You'll start to see how all of the material values that we have treasured are actually very empty. There's one nice story in an ancient Vedic literature called the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's a story about one boy who is only 5 years old. And his name was Dhruva Maharaj. And Dhruva Maharaj was the son of a great king. But his father, the king, had many wives. This was the ancient Indian culture. So one day he went to his father. And he went to sit on the lap of his father. And one of his other mothers was there. And she said, "No, you go away from this place. Only my son can sit on the lap of his father." So this boy was young. But he was the son of a king. And he had king's blood inside of his body. So he became very angry. And he went to his mother. And he told his mother what had happened. And so his mother said, "Well, what will you do?" And the boy said, "Mother, I don't care. I don't want my father's kingdom. Nor do I want the kingdom of my grandfather. But I want a kingdom that's greater than even my great-grandfather." Now his great-grandfather, his name was Brahma. And Brahma is the personality who's the creator of this entire universe. So his mother looked at him and said, "Boy, you are speaking in such a powerful way. In order to get something like that, you will have to approach God himself." And so the boy turned to his mother and he said, "Mama, where can I find God?" And she said, "To find God, you need a spiritual master." So just then, one great saint came whose name is Narada Muni. And the boy explained his problem to Narada. And Narada told him, "Calm down, son." He said, "You're just a boy 5 years old. You can't get these things." He said, "No, I want." So what did he do? Narada told him, "If you really want to try to get this, go to the forest. And if you live in the forest and perform austerities, and then God will come to you." So he said, "What must I do?" So Narada explained the whole process to this boy. So that little 5-year-old boy went to the jungle. And he started standing on one leg only. And he would only eat the dry leaves that fell from the trees. And only once in a month would he drink water. And after some time, that boy even stopped to breathe. He was performing such type of austerity in order to see God. And then after 6 months, what happened? The Lord himself appeared before that boy. And the boy looked up. And he saw God himself. And the boy became overwhelmed with love. And he fell unconscious on the ground. And then when the boy came to his senses, he started to glorify the Lord. And he gave one very, very beautiful prayer in which he was speaking to Krishna. And he said, "My dear Lord Krishna, I wanted a big, big material position in this world. And to get that position, I was doing so much austerity. But as the result of that, I have seen you. And by seeing you, I found a valuable, valuable jewel. And I can understand that all of my material pursuits were like looking after broken pieces of glass. So that's what material life is like.
этому подобна материальная жизнь.
It's always like broken pieces of glass.
Она всегда подобна осколкам стекла.
And all of us here, we have made the endeavor for material happiness.
И все сидящие из нас здесь совершали поиски этого материального.
And we've never achieved the satisfaction that we're looking for.
И никогда не получали того удовлетворения, которое мы.
We think that if I could just have the right man or the right woman, then I could become happy and satisfied.
Мы думали, что если мы получим подходящего мужчину или подходящую женщину, мы будем счастливы.
We think if I just had enough money or a good bank balance, then I would be happy and satisfied.
Мы думали, что если мы получим достаточно денег или счет в банке, мы будем счастливы.
Or if I just had sufficient education, then I would be assured to be happy and satisfied.
Если я получу соответствующее образование, тогда я точно буду счастлив.
But still, we see that there's something lacking in our hearts. Stop. Just sit down.
Так или иначе мы видим, что
that something is lacking in our hearts.
Что чего-то недостаёт в нашем сердце.
And that lacking thing is our relationship with God.
Эта недостающая вещь в сердце является связь с Богом.
We are all parts of God.
Мы все являемся частью Бога.
And we will never become satisfied until we're reunited with God.
И мы никогда не будем счастливы, пока мы не соединимся с Богом.
And the process to do that is yoga.
И таким процессом является йога.
And in the age which we're living, the best type of yoga is the chanting of God's name.
И в ту эпоху, в которой мы живем, лучшим средством этой йоги является воспевание имен Бога.
In previous ages, they performed different processes. Just like it's explained, this universe has four different divisions. It has the beginning of the universe is called Satya Yuga. And during Satya Yuga, people live very, very long duration of life. So in that age, they practice yoga to realize God.
И в эту эпоху они практиковали йогу для того, чтобы осознать Бога.
But in different ages, they practiced different processes.
Но в разные эпохи они практиковали различные процессы.
And this age in which we're living now is called the Kali Age or Kali Yuga.
Эта эпоха, в которой мы сейчас живем, называется Kali Yuga.
Here in this age, men have very short lives.
В эту эпоху мы живем короткой жизнью.
Men are always misguided.
Мы всегда неудачливы.
People are always disturbed by material affairs.
Они всегда обеспокоены материальной энергией.
People don't really have an interest for spiritual development.
И у людей нет интереса к духовному развитию.
People are so unfortunate that they accept unhappiness for happiness.
Люди настолько неудачливы, что они воспринимают несчастье как счастье.
So in this age, one process is recommended for spiritual realization.
И в эту эпоху рекомендован один процесс как процесс реализации.
And that process is to simply sing the name of God.
Этот процесс заключается в воспевании имен Бога.
That's actually a principle which is taught in all scriptures in this age.
Это процесс, который описан во всех писаниях в эту эпоху.
The Vedic literatures say there's no other process than to vibrate the holy name of God.
Ведические писания говорят, что нет другого процесса, кроме как воспевания святого имени Бога.
And if one will chant this Hare Krishna mantra,
если кто-то будет воспевать эту Харе Кришна мантру,
your vision of life will change.
Видение этого мира изменится.
Our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, he left India when he was a very, very old man.
Наш духовный учитель Шрила Прабхупада оставил Индию, когда он был уже старым человеком.
And he traveled to the western countries.
И он отправился в западные страны.
And he very humbly made this challenge to everyone.
И он очень смиренно просил всех делать это.
And so since we're the followers of Srila Prabhupada, we will very humbly make this challenge to you. We'd like to invite you all to please take up this process of chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And we can guarantee that if you'll do this, your vision of life will change. And you will start to experience the deepest level of satisfaction and happiness within your heart.
So,
thank you very much, Hare Krishna. So we'll chant Hare Krishna now. And we'd like to invite you all to join in this chanting. First, we can ask if anyone has any questions they could ask.
Может быть, у кого-то
Yes, madam. No, I don't know. Agni Yoga, I do not know. Agni Yoga, I have not heard of. And true cosmic philosophy means to understand who is the source of the cosmos. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that I am the source of everything spiritual and I am the source of everything material. He actually gives a description of the entire cosmic manifestation. And he explains to his disciple Arjuna how if one trains his eyes by knowledge, then one can see the Lord in this material cosmos. Trains, if one's vision becomes trained by knowledge. But then in the end of his discussion, he says, but what is the point? He says, because I create and I maintain this entire cosmos with just a fragmental spark of my splendor. So he encourages Arjuna to understand me as a person in full. Understand me as a person. So he explains to Arjuna that Arjuna should understand him as a person. The original person. And that can be done through rendering devotional service. But I have not heard of Agni Yoga. Sorry. Hare Krishna. Anything else? Any other questions? So, we'll all chant together. Everyone, please join us in the chanting. You've all been so nice that you've come down to sit in the hall this afternoon. So now we've all become friends, so we should all chant together. And this Hare Krishna mantra, it only contains three words. You can see this gentleman over here is holding the mantra sign. And the three words are Hare, Krishna, and Rama. Hare, it means the energy of the Supreme God. And Krishna, it means God who is the all-attractive person. This is actually the qualification of God. Is that He's the most attractive personality. And what are His attractive qualities? Naturally, He's the most beautiful. He's the most intelligent person. He's the most wise person. Wise, he has wisdom. He's the strongest person. He's the most renounced person. So these are the all-attractive qualities that the Lord possesses in full. Because we're all part of Krishna, all of us possess some of these qualities in minute quantity. Just like the Lord, He is the strongest of all personalities. And we have this fellow here. He's very strong also. But his strength, in comparison to the strength of the Lord, is so limited.
Но его сила по сравнению с силой Всевышнего Господа является такой незначительной.
Or Krishna is the most beautiful and attractive personality.
Или Кришна является наиболее красивым, привлекательным.
And we have people in this world who are very beautiful and attractive, but their beauty is only a fragment in comparison to the Lord.
И в этом мире есть очень много красивых и привлекательных людей, но по сравнению с Господом их красота незначительна.
And then Rama means the reservoir of all happiness.
А Рама означает резервуар всего, всей радости, счастья.
All of us are looking for happiness.
Каждый из нас ищет счастье.
But we're not looking for our happiness in the source of happiness.
Но мы не ищем свое счастье в источнике этого счастья.
But by this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra,
и благодаря этой Hare Krishna Maha Mantra,
one can connect himself with the source of eternal pleasure.
Каждый может соединить себя с источником счастья.
And you can begin to experience this pleasure in your life at every moment.
И вы можете испытывать это счастье в каждый момент своей жизни.
So, I'm going to say the mantra, and I'd like for you all to repeat.
Я буду произносить эту мантру и попрошу каждого из вас повторять.
Is that okay?
Это нормально?
How to show? Okay. Don't be afraid.
Не бойтесь.
Don't worry what the person next to you is going to think.
Не думайте о том, что человек, сидящий рядом с вами, будет.
We're all friends here.
Мы все друзья здесь.
Don't be afraid to chant.
Не бойтесь воспевать.
It won't make your hair fall out.
И это не приведет к тому, что ваши волосы выпадут.
It will just make big smile come on your face.
Это просто сделает большую улыбку на вашем лице.
Okay, so first, I'm going to say the mantra, and I'd like for you all to repeat.
Я буду произносить мантру, и хочу, чтобы вы все повторили.
Okay, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Nice.
Хорошо.
But should be a little louder.
Но должно быть немножко громче.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Very nice.
Очень хорошо.
So now we'll sing together the Hare Krishna mantra.
А сейчас мы будем петь Hare Krishna mantra.
And the system is that first we'll sing. First I will sing the Maha Mantra, and then you will respond.
Принцип такой, что сначала я буду петь Махамантру, а потом вы будете ее петь.
And you just follow what the devotees do, and you'll see what they're doing.
И вы просто делаете то, что буду делать преданные, и все вам будет понятно.
So first I'll sing, then everyone responds, then nice transcendental sound vibration is established.
И сначала я буду петь, потом будете петь вы, и потом установится такая очень хорошая духовная вибрация.
And if you know the mantra, then you should just close your eyes and sing along while we chant the Hare Krishna mantra.
А если вы знаете мантру, вы просто можете закрыть глаза и петь закрытыми глазами.
And if any of you like, you can stand up and dance.
А если кто-то хочет встать, может встать и танцевать.
Because this is a very nice mantra to dance to.
Потому что это очень красивый танец для девушек.
So we'll begin by all standing up on the stage and chanting, and you're all welcome to join us if you like.
И мы сейчас все встанем, мы будем петь, танцевать, и всем...